You've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hello, hello, Tamara here. Your host and the person with a 90-pound Mastiff that freaked out last night and decided to spoon me all night long. So that meant I ended up with that sliver of the bed at the very edge, like I was almost falling off all night. So if I sound tired, that is why. But I'm not too tired to keep at it. Have I ever told you our big dream here at Launch Street? If I haven't, here goes. Our big, crazy thing that gets us up in the morning dream is to unleash 1 million innovators into the world. Imagine the problems we could solve, the opportunities we would create, and the sense of accomplishment we'd all feel if 1 million of us were out there going after it in this more innovative way. It would be amazing. And you are a big part of reaching that goal. If you already know your unique everyday innovator style, how you innovate, you're already a part of it. Thank you. Congratulations. If you haven't yet taken our assessment to discover your natural innovation strengths, run, don't walk, to our website and take it. I don't know how fingers run and not walk, but you know what I mean. Go to launchstreet.com, G-O-T-O launchstreet.com. The link is in the show notes and click on take assessment. Knowing how you innovate and applying it daily, that's how you become you at your best. So get after it. You know, today's interview is really interesting. As you know, your thoughts drive your actions. But as our guest, Heather Nichols, explains, the real power is in your perspective. And when it comes to innovation, seeing opportunities, challenging assumptions, perspective is everything. This is an interesting conversation about something very woo-woo, but has real-world application for us. I love these combos because I think it makes us look inward, which is something we don't do enough. I think we're too busy looking outward too much of the time. So Heather Nichols, MSW, is an Access Consciousness Facilitator, Movement and Meditation Consultant, Somatic Psychotherapist, Entrepreneur, and Coach. So she combines a master's degree in social work with 25 years experience in the world of entrepreneurship and expertise in this mind-body therapy, which is what we're kind of digging in today, to facilitate people towards a fuller, more joyful experience of business, life, and family. I think you'll find our conversation on innovation and perspective and tapping your mind really powerful. Let's do it. Heather, thank you so much for joining me today. I have a feeling we're going to have a very interesting conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
So what is your first memory of being innovative?
I love this question. You know, I think I've always been innovative. To me, being innovative is just being willing to create and knowing that you can create anything and there's no limits to what we can create. And I was just thinking about a time when I was a kid. I've always been really into fashion and clothing, and even when I was really little. And I remember like getting this idea of a dress in my head and going, well, we need to just make it. It was just like, you know, I was always designing clothing as a kid. And, you know, luckily my mom was, she knew how to sew. So, and she'd play with me. And so we would always be making clothes. And that was just the beginning for me of knowing, yeah, if something doesn't exist, let's just create it.
I love that. And I think you were alluding it to a little bit in the beginning, and anyone who's listened to this podcast for a while knows, I believe that we're all innovative. In fact, we have an assessment that proves it, but I firmly believe that. And that's been my experience. We just do it differently. But to your point, I think sometimes it's just about taking an opportunity or looking at something differently that's right in front of you. And we can perhaps talk about fashion later. I don't know what generation you are in, but I'm a product of the 80s and I used to rent out my clothing. Because, you know, I had all the like, you know, pegged pants and off the shoulder sweaters, and I had closets full, and my girlfriend used to come over and borrow them all the time. So I used to just rent them out and make a ton of cash actually that summer. It was great. But I think to your point, like, it's just about like, huh, I want that, or that frustrated me and it doesn't exist. So how do I make that happen?
Exactly. Exactly. I love it.
I shared your bio in the intro, and you have this kind of very interesting, unique set of skills that all come together. But I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, not just me kind of listing out those skills, but how you think they come together to inform kind of how you do what you do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, it's just my life experience and the things that I've been playing with, you know, in my own world, really from that perspective of that everything is changeable, you know, everything, nothing is fixed. We can change anything. We can change everything. We can create everything. And, you know, having been, I mean, a huge part of my work and my love has always been the body and like being in our bodies and being, having presence with our bodies and having fun with our bodies. And so that's been something that's been true for me my whole life. Like I started dancing when I was 2 years old. My mom had to lie to get me into ballet class because I wasn't old enough. So, and you know, so that's been a thread that has woven through everything that I do. And, actually owned a movement studio and a spa for a period of time. I don't know, a couple decades ago. And that was, my first real foray into business, which was something also that my parents always really taught me, you know, again, in that spirit of innovation, you can do anything. So what would you like to do? You know, I grew up with kind of the messaging of that I could be an entrepreneur and probably would. And so that was always my point of view was never, what's my job going to be? You know, it was, what would I like to create in the world as a business? And so kind of combining those things and then, and looking at, you know, how can we create business with ease and how can we include the joy of being alive and having our bodies and being present and, you know, like having it really be fun, has been such a question in my own world that has really informed my work. One of the things I would love to see the most in the world is that for people to know that they can create anything and that having fun and enjoying their lives and their businesses is actually the most dynamic way to be successful at what they're doing.
You know, it's interesting you say that because one of my least favorite phrases in the world is misery loves company. Or when people say that to me, if I share something frustrating and they're like, oh my God, well, you know, you're not alone. Here's what happened to me. And I'm like, I don't want to sit in misery. That wasn't the point of this conversation. You know, I don't actually want to be there. And I think sometimes we get a little addicted to the misery side. And maybe misery is strong, but that kind of negative, toxic side of it. How do you think about pulling yourself or the clients that you work with out of that to get to this better space?
Well, you know, my work is very pragmatic. And so the first thing to know is that when you're miserable, you're stressed, you're whatever, you're diminishing what you can be creating in your business. You're diminishing what you can be creating in the world, you know? And so it's not actually the greatest choice to like, it's like, do what you can do to get yourself out of that as quickly as possible. Cause your whole life and business is going to shrink the more miserable you are.
I love what you just said, that it diminishes creating, being creative, really being innovative and doing what you're trying to do in the world. I think you're so right. And I think there used to be this narrative that like, you know, people who were creative were unhappy people. That's the fountain of their creativity. And I think that's totally the opposite.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I want to ask you about presence. Actually, let me back up and just say that when you were talking about your experience, I have to say I went for a walk around the lake with a girlfriend of mine last night who owns a business. And we were talking about her son. And her son is on the edge of graduating college. And then he's going to go to Argentina for a year and do some fly fishing. And then he's going somewhere else to do other stuff. And he's doing other stuff. And we were talking about the fact, I said, I wish someone had told me when I came out of college in 1995, that you didn't have to hit the ground running because the one career you were going to have wasn't the career for the rest of your life. That you were actually going to change a lot.
Yeah. And I was saying that I actually think he set up more for success than I was at that time, because I have had this very linear view of this is the business I've chosen. This is the lane I've chosen. This is what I will do. And that doesn't give you, in the kind of vein of being innovative and intuitive, as we'll talk more about, all those different dots to connect to come up with new patterns and new insights and new ideas, where I think her son is really setting himself up for that, to have all these different experiences and then create all these different patterns out of the gate, because the norm is totally different. And I was just saying how cool it is that we now get to say, instead of being like, oh, I change careers every 5 years, it's like, yeah, I have all these different experiences that I get to pull from.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's also very pragmatic, because there's not a lot of people that particularly that are drawn to these types of conversations that are interested in doing one thing forever. And it's such a lie, you know, of our world that you do the thing, you know, you go to college, you get married, you get a job. You know, it's like, man,
yeah,
right, right. That's really boring. It's been sort of made wrong, but when you look at it, it's like, well, of course, you know, we evolve and change and grow and have a million different experiences and phases of life. And of course your work world and your career and all that is going to evolve with you. And so I think it is really a great place to start from, you know. And I didn't start doing this sort of version of what I'm doing now until I was 40, you know, and I had all kinds of other things before that I was doing that were of the same vein. But and the thing that I love about my work now is it's so dynamic that it's like I can see myself continuing to do it, because it changes all the time, you know. My partner has a son who is, I think he's 20 now, and he didn't want to go to college. And my partner said, all right, let's take the money that we have set aside for your college, and let's, like, why don't you go and take a trip around the world with that and go learn about the world, you know, go study the world.
How wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what would it take for more people to have those experiences?
I know.
It's in
that would be amazing.
That we learn and that we know what's true for us and what we would like to do and what's fun. And there's things that are out there that are available for us to do, especially nowadays, that we don't even know exist, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I want to dig into, I could keep talking about global travel and why that is valuable, but we're going to keep going. I want to talk about something you wrote in an article, and the focus of the article is more about financial flow and kind of your perspective on money, but I think it really applies to everything, kind of perspective in general, your perspective. So I want to read just a snippet from it and then have a conversation with you about why perspective is so important and why that shift in perspective is so powerful. So in the article you wrote, one of the biggest things that affects our financial flow is how we see the world. Our perspective and our points of view shape reality around us in dynamic and fascinating ways. When we begin to unpack the judgments that we carry around about how life is, how money is, and what is valuable to us in the world, we can have the freedom to choose a perspective that actually works for us and creates something different. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear your perspective on this. I've been doing a lot of work lately with mental models and how our mental models in these different parts of our life frame how we view everything in that area, basically. So talk to me about the power of perspective. Because like I said, I know you were talking specifically about money here, but I think it applies to a lot of things.
Yes, it does. Well, one of my favorite phrases is that your point of view creates your reality. And if you even just look at, like, you're standing, you know, looking at a certain thing, and if you turn 180 degrees, you're going to see something completely different, you know?
Right.
So the point of view that you have about how life is and how things work, and, you know, in this case, in the article, it was, you know, how money flows or whatever, or how business is going to totally shape what shows up in your world, because that's the lens from which you look at the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're looking and the lens is pink, everything looks pink. And if the lens is green, everything looks green. And we don't realize that. And we're actually, a lot of my work is very much around changing points of view, getting rid actually of points of view so that you do have more awareness and a sense of, you know, really what you know rather than what you think. Because what you know is very different than what you think. And what you know is going to give you way more breadth and depth of what you can actually create. And so, you know, I mean, it's like, if you have the point of view that business is hard and making money is hard and, you know, the harder you work, the more money you make, let's just say a lot of people have that point of view, then that's what has to be. You know, if you want to create your, you know, if you want to increase your money flows, well, then you're going to have to work harder. And I bumped up against this in my own life where I went, I know I can be creating more financial flow. And I was maxed out actually on how I was working so much at the time. I was really like all day long, you know, until I went to bed, work. And that was, even though I enjoyed my work, that was not actually really working for me. And so I had to take a look at, okay, well, what's my point of view here? You know, because if I have a point of view that when I work more, I make more, well, I'm now maxed out on my income, you know, and it was like, that's not going to be a reality for me. So what needs to change? What different point of view can I take? And what questions can I ask? Which is also a huge part of my work. It's like getting into the question, which to me is absolutely where innovation comes from, is the curiosity and being in question mm-hmm. about what we can create and what we can change and tweak and what's different, what can be different that can create a different reality.
I want to add, there's a couple of things I want to ask you about, but one is I'd love to hear more, dig deeper into the distinction between knowing and thinking. I mean, I think I intellectually, I'm totally just going to prove myself, but I don't know what I'm talking about. Like I hear that intellectually, you know, what you're saying, but give me an example of how that applies in the real world. Like what, like maybe one of your clients or just kind of a general thing that would resonate with all of us about the difference between the two and how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think we all probably have some sense of like having a gut feeling about something, you know, which to me, I would say falls more sort of in the camp of knowing, like your intuition or what I would say is your awareness of something. So an example would be, you know, you have a decision to make in your business and usually people don't realize this a lot of the times, but usually there's a instinct, there's a gut feeling of like, this is actually going to be the way to go. But what people tend to do is go to the pros and the cons and the weighing and the, like the mental, I would say kind of mental masturbation of like, yeah. You know, like just mulling things over until you're blue in the face when you actually really know, and knowing is very fast, when you actually know what is going to be the best choice to make. And a lot of times people believe their minds more, like they trust the logic more than they do this awareness, the knowing. And usually what I've seen in my own world and in my clients' worlds is when you go with the logic, it doesn't go anywhere, you know, or it doesn't go very far. When you go with this knowing, the awareness, the intuition, the gut feeling, it opens up worlds that you didn't even know existed, you know, and there's right. All these possibilities there. That to me is innovation, is going, okay, cool. I don't know where this is going, but I know to go here, you know, and let's see where, what else we can create and what else we can open up. And that's the adventure of business for me, is this creative edge of innovation that comes from curiosity and, you know, kind of being willing to jump off cliffs with what we're up to, you know?
Yeah. I think what you're saying is really interesting about the mind. Cause I think it, the mind, I think plays really big tricks on us. So we think it is the gatekeeper for what we should or shouldn't do. But the reality is the mind is trying to keep us safe and comfortable at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So it's right. It's the old kind of, you know, reptilian brain that hasn't quite gone away. Well, even though we've moved past it, you know?
Yeah. And if you look at the big, like the innovators of our time, you know, people that have really created something phenomenally different, you know, Steve Jobs or, you know, like all these like Richard Branson, you know, they don't operate from that or didn't
right.
in the case of Steve Jobs. Like that's not where they were functioning from. You know, it's this willingness to play and to risk and to be courageous and to be curious that allows you to create something that has never existed before.
So what's your best advice then for getting out of that and more into intuition? Because I mean, you know more about intuition than I do. For me anyway, what I find is my intuition is mostly right. And then I've got to back up into the logic, but I've got to trust my intuition to begin with first, you know, and then I got to figure out, okay, well, how did I get here later? I can't do it to start. Because if I do it to start, I talk myself out of things because then the lizard brain takes over. So how do you teach people to get more in touch with that side so that we can, you know, take those bigger leaps that we want to take? Because I think innately we want to do it. We want to be innovative and creative and we want to, you know, try new things and be bold and have a strong voice, but we get trapped in the mind.
Exactly. So there's two tools that I love for this. And my work is really, there's lots and lots of tools, like very pragmatic tools that you can just use to create something different. So one of them is asking questions. So literally just, and you're asking not to get an answer. You're asking to actually get awareness and to tap in more to your knowing.
That's a big distinction.
Yeah. So it's not, so when you ask, you don't even look for an answer and definitely don't answer it yourself. But, you know, like, okay, so if I choose this in my business, what will that create? What will my life be like in 5 years? And what will the world be like in 5 years? And if I don't choose this, what will my life be like? And what will the world be like? And this is where you look for an energy, really. And like a sense of a movement of awareness or a movement of like the gut feeling and so the second tool would be really looking at what's light and what's heavy. Meaning like when you ask a question, you're going to have something that shows up that like one of those questions is going to expand. You're going to have a sense of expansion, a sense of lightness, a sense of, you know, even if you don't know how, or even if you're like, yikes, that's kind of scary. There's still going to be a sense of like, you know, and then heavy is more like, you know, like more contracted, more dense, more solid, more what we think would be maybe real, but it's not. So asking questions, if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? What will the world be like in 5 years? If I don't, you know, same questions, what's lighter, what's heavier, what makes you feel more like it's more fun, more expansive? What feels more, you know, like you're going to stay in your box of what you continue to do that is not changing.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine the other day and we were talking about a strategic direction for the business, and logically her direction made sense, but I found myself physically closing up, like a little bit more slumped over, arms a little bit crossed.
Yeah.
But I was agreeing with her. Like I was nodding. No, that makes perfect sense. But something was off and I needed time to process it and to think it through and to think, okay, why did that resonate with me? But I had to get really in touch with my physical presence to go, okay, something was not, I was nodding and my brain was saying, yeah, that sounds right. But something else was going on. And once I kind of dug and had time to process, I could figure out, okay, that strategic direction did make sense because of these reasons. I just couldn't figure out in the moment.
Yeah. Well, and I would say that this functioning from this, like in the creation of your business it's very much a muscle that we build, you know, it's like, you know, you go to the gym the first day, you're not going to be as strong as you're going to be if you go to the gym every day for 2 months, you know, so, and there's always more. This is actually completely how I create my business. Everything that I do, everything that I create, it's from questions and I would say sort of like following the energy or following what it is that I know. I don't really value my mind in my business.
It plays tricks on you.
It does. We always say your mind is a terrible thing. Waste it.
Right. I have a question for you about the mind. That's a little bit of in a different direction, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it. One of the mind tricks that I see play on a lot of people is them. I have a lot of clients who I would say they have a really innovative idea, a way to solve their business problem. So they work at, most of them, you know, are working at larger companies. Mm-hmm. Or they are a better way to do something or a new way to reposition a brand that will take them into a new direction. Like whatever that innovation is applied to in their work in front of them. And out of the gate, they're too afraid to say anything or they're hesitant because they're convinced that the people on the other side of the table won't get it, will think they're stupid, won't see their worth. You know, all the fear factors that come in.
Yeah.
How do you, when you think about kind of the power of perspective and intuition, how do you apply those to those type of situations?
Oh, such a great question. Well, you know, I mean, there's a million things I can say with this. One is having your own back and knowing, like trusting your own gut, trusting your own, that owns that you like your sense of intuition or whatever you want to call it, knowing, trusting that and being willing to have the courage to speak up when that, when something is showing up that is different or when you're like, I don't know how this is going to be received. I mean, again, if you look at some of these amazing innovators of our time, like they didn't stop themselves. They don't stop themselves when they bump up against that moment and, you know, probably don't bump up against those moments as much, you know? So really trusting yourself and going, okay, I know something here, you know, and I'd like to say, cause this is where you can go from being, you know, just sort of like going with the flow of an organization and the sort of like what they have always done and what they will always do. And then also like positioning yourself as like a huge contribution to an organization in terms of being an innovator and bringing a different perspective and a different point of view that could change everything. And, you know, so often when I have these conversations with people in business, they're like, they're so relieved and there's so much, it's like, it's refreshing, you know, because people are actually looking for something different. And we bring a different perspective to a situation, a problem, a project, a whatever. That is, it's breathing this fresh, you know, fresh life into something that only you have. Like you, everybody's perspective is so unique.
Right.
It's the gift of you, you know? And if you're not bringing that, you're not actually bringing the gift of you. Now, the second part of that I would say just really quick is like, yeah. It's, you've also got to be willing to get it wrong. You know, like you've also got to be willing to speak up and not go dead in the room but that's part of it. And if you have your own back, you know, and you trust you and you're willing to just be like, hey, this might be totally off base, but here you go. That's where creativity thrives. You can't have innovation and creativity if you're constantly like hedging against getting something wrong. You know, I mean, how many, you know, I mean, there's a million stories out there of people, you know, that have created huge businesses that failed, and then massively succeeded.
And I think, well, there's a couple really important points that you said in there kind of quickly. So I want to kind of go back to them. One is, the, you know, you had said in the beginning of this part that people are really looking for something different, like something that all lights them up. Yeah. And I think we forget that we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
The other people in the room want that from us. They may not know how to receive it. And there's a whole different conversation about how to kind of present ideas in a way to get people to listen.
Absolutely.
But I think that that's a really important point. And I think the other flip side to that is, as I was telling a client the other day, who's kind of feeling the weight of, you know, worrying about what they're saying, is that, you know, if you feel that way, like uncomfortable with the team, other people probably feel that way.
Yes.
So to remember that you're actually not alone. And I think the third thing that you said that's really important to just highlight is about you can't innovate when you're hedging against being wrong, because then you try to get it right. And you always screw it up. All of us do, not you particularly, but like all of us do, because we narrow our thinking to try to be right out of the gate, and it never works.
It kills creation. It kills innovation. Yeah. It's basically judgment. And anytime you're functioning from judgment, you can't actually create.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I have a colleague who's a neuroscience champion, is what he calls himself. And he was telling me about how the brain literally cannot innovate and analyze at the same time. So it just doesn't work. The brain can't do it. So, you know, we were talking about ways to get people to recognize when whether you're doing it by yourself or with a team, of just trusting the process a little bit in the beginning, which is what you were saying earlier in the interview about, hey brain, we're going to innovate here and we're going to create whatever we want. We'll worry about analyzing later.
Yeah.
And just giving the lizard brain a chance to like calm down, be like, all right, I'm coming. I'll be there later.
Yeah. I'll always say to people, like, just put your mind on a hammock and let it take a nap for a little bit, you know, like just put it there. You're taking a nap right now and we'll come back later. Maybe, you know,
this is why you see me talking to myself in the grocery store all the time. Cause I'm having these conversations with my own brain. Like, not right now, brain. Right now I'm searching and discovering. Stop it. What advice do you have for somebody trying to cultivate a greater spirit of innovation, just overall mindset?
Have fun. I mean, really have fun. If you're doing something that is exciting for you, that you're enthusiastic about, that's fun, that's enjoyable, that is an energy that just, it like sweeps through everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be such a contribution to what you're creating. So yeah, have fun. Don't take yourself seriously, like at all, if you're willing to.
I love that.
Ask a lot of questions, take a lot of risks, and enjoy it.
So Heather, you just brought up a very funny memory that I haven't thought about in years. I used to work in brand strategy and innovation, new product development. And we were working for the pantyhose company that has the egg shape. Right now, I can't remember the name of it. Is it Leg? Or is it Sara Lee? I can't remember now.
Wasn't it?
Do you remember?
Legs?
Yes, it was. It was like L and then L B. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Right. I should have figured that out. It's been a long time. But what you reminded me of is we were busting our butts to get the final presentation done. We had a very short timeline between market research and putting these new ideas together. And we were at the office late until, you know, midnight for an entire week. And by the fourth day, we just got giddy. And we ended up with pantyhose on our heads. We're like, this will help. And it did. And then we just had so much fun putting this. And it really showed in the ideas that how we put it all together. Yeah. And the ideas came from consumers. They came from research. They came from the climate. The ideas came from everywhere. We weren't creating ideas, but we're trying to pull everything we learned together. And we were exhausted. And I promise you that putting those pantyhose on our head changed everything for us and made the work awesome and made the way we presented everything way more innovative. We came up with this whole kind of experiential thing that we did with our clients. I'll never forget the CEO of my company coming in early one morning, and we were there like at 6 a.m., you know, because we had no choice. We had a deadline. And there we were with our pantyhose. And I remember him walking down the hall past our offices, stopping, could hear him, his footsteps stop, leaned back, looked in, looked at us, and then just looked away. He's like, okay, and just kept going.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever, ladies.
Well, and that's so great, because that right there is where, when you start doing that and you start playing and having fun with it, it's like everybody relaxes. The whole culture is now changed, and you can be... When someone has pantyhose on their head, you know, you can be tossing out ideas that might not work. You know, it's play.
And you know what? You're so right. There's something, you know, we minimize the importance of play and fun in work to our detriment. And we forget that what that really does is opens up to our sense of curiosity and discovery. And it allows us to have conversations maybe we wouldn't feel comfortable having. It minimizes stress. So fun, like just for fun's sake is one thing, but like, I don't know. I don't find going out for beers on a Friday night fun. That's my personal, like, that's not how I like to build fun, but doing those type of things in a meeting or even when you're by yourself, actually just, they make everything better. You're so right. Thank you for bringing that back up, because I'd forgotten about that memory. It's been a long time since I did that. And if I recall correctly, I'll have to ask a colleague of mine who I'm still in touch with. I'm pretty sure I walked around the rest of it like for hours with it on before I realized I still had pantyhose on my head.
Awesome.
And I think people were just afraid to say anything. Like, I think Tamara has gone off the deep end with this project. It was awesome. I'm curious, in your work, what do you see that stops people from innovating? And obviously taking themselves too seriously is probably one of them.
One of the biggest ones. Well, and it's again that, like, when you have to get it right, you know, when you're you have a goal in mind, and for most people it's a financial goal, you know, like, this has to succeed, this has to create money. There's a deadline for when it has to create money, you know. That really stops innovation, because I love that, you know, you can't analyze and innovate at the same time. Yeah. Like, brain can't, you know? So I would say that's the biggest thing, is just the need to get something right. And one of the things that I always, I work a lot with, you know, creating multiple streams of revenue and multiple, like, so many different projects. And 'cause people that love these conversations, they are creative and innovative, and they like to have a lot going on. And so that's one of the things I work with people a lot on, is actually, hey, like, what if you really did have even 20 projects on the go? You don't have to do all of them today or every day, but it creates this energy in your world of, like, if you've got 20 projects and half of them fail, so what? You have 10 right. successful things that you've created, you know?
Right.
And there's something about the energy of that that also makes every single project that you're working on greater. Because there's so much creation and creativity going on. So do more than you think you can, you know? Say yes to more than you think you can, and, you know, have fun with it.
You know, I did a strategy session yesterday. There's a colleague who actually, he's my digital marketing partner. They're my vendor partner. And he and I are kind of in a mastermind together. He owns that company. We occasionally get our teams together we do 3 hours on their company and 3 hours on my company. And we harness everybody in the room for both sides. And we know each other well enough to know each other's businesses to be able to help. And one of the things that they were telling us over lunch that I really appreciated was that every day now, they're a small team of, I think it's six, they start every day with what's going well. So when they do their team meetings. And he was saying that beyond gratitude of, like, what am I thankful for? But hey, what's going well in my life? It just sets the tone of optimism throughout the day. And all the other challenges they have to face. And it kind of goes to what you're saying about, like, when you really focus on those things that are going well, it actually impacts, it makes everything go better. It's not just, you know, these things worked and these didn't, but it's actually all interconnected.
Yes. So true.
Yeah. So, I love that. I thought that was great. Okay. Where can people go to learn more and connect with you?
My website is the easiest place, heathernichols.com. And there's a place to, you know, sign up and get newsletters and stuff from me. And, I'm also on Facebook, Heather Nichols CF, and there's some more things coming down the pike soon, but those awesome. Are places. Yeah.
What is your final piece of advice for innovators on Launch Street? How do I want to ask this? I actually want to loop back to something I did get asked about earlier, trying to increase their presence and has, I think, their outcomes and impact in the world.
Oh gosh. Well,
I threw an Oprah in the end. I'm sorry.
In 30 seconds or less. I would say again, like, do what's fun for you. Like connect with people, actually connect with people, actually real people. Social media is amazing. And, you know, absolutely a huge part of our world, and have conversations. Have conversations with people, because this is something that is really lacking, I would say.
Yes, agreed.
A huge part of what actually gets businesses out there. So talk to people.
I love that. And don't you find too that when you engage in these conversations, not only do you potentially make new connections and new networks and, you know, all that stuff that matters to business, but you get new nuggets of ideas and thinking that you just wouldn't have had otherwise. I think one of the biggest mistakes we have in innovation is we try to do it alone.
Yeah.
And it's just not possible.
Yeah.
We don't have all the information. We never will.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Heather, thank you so much for joining us today. That was absolutely fantastic. I just, for Launch Street, just to sum up a couple of things, I really want us to think about how to shift our perspective and how to make sure we're not hedging against being wrong. Because I think that, to me, is the linchpin to all the things you're talking about. We do with our intuition too. We shut it down because we think, well, maybe it's wrong. then we shut down the innovation because we go, well, maybe it's wrong. Yeah. And we try to make it right. And I think your comment about that was so powerful. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was great. Really fun.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.